Ghosts, cryptids, murder, conspiracies, beer, what, the ale.
Hello, friends.
Hello.
Welcome to the May Keg. I'm Alana Ray.
And I'm Mama J.
And before we get into our topic this week, Mama, what are you drinking?
Well, it's morning here for me, so I'm having a delightful iced hazelnut latte.
Delicious. We love it.
Also,
it's still a brew.
Yeah, and it is a brew. And I was at a soccer game last night, and I didn't get home till like after midnight, didn't get back to bed until like after 1 in the morning. So yeah, I'm definitely needing coffee this morning.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I empathize for sure.
Yeah, what about you?
Well, I am still on my morning coffee, but last night I had a new beer I had never had before, and it's called a Rec League, like Rec League soccer. But it's Harpoon, which is like a big beer over here. It's their like light IPA. So not as strong, not as heavy, not as like in your gut, but really good. So
very cool.
Yeah. Any what the O moments this week?
I just hate the way our mind works because I had a family member take a fall yesterday. And this morning I woke up just like flashbacks, like I keep seeing it happen. And I wish that our mind wouldn't do that, where it shows us like these horrible like visuals over and over again.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm dealing with that this morning and it just sucks.
Yeah, definitely sucks. And sad to hear that's going on over there, and sending lots of love. Hopefully y'all can have some good memories today.
Yeah, get some rest and whatever. But yeah, I just wish our mind wouldn't do that to us. You know, it's like you wake up seeing something.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, our mind is crazy. I'm like, aren't you supposed to be protecting me from that mind? Why are you keep showing me?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. What about you?
Let's see. For those of you who don't know, my partner is a massive gamer. And so while we're kind of operating long distance right now, we decided to start playing games together. And because I don't have a gaming PC, I have to like stream it from like a computer in San Diego, and then it sends me like the screen share of the screen so I can use it. It's very high tech and weird. But for 3 days now, we have been trying to play our game because we're both really into it. And unfortunately, something is wrong with the actual computer and not my computer. Like, I tried restarting my computer, doing everything, and everything says it's working, but like the computer on the other end of the world isn't working. So I have like emailed them, but I don't know when I'll get a response. And so that kind of sucks, because like that was our date night plan yesterday, was we were going to game and we didn't get to do that. So
but you got some good plans with some friends this weekend.
I do. Yes. I'm going to watch Drag Race with my friends and drink lots of Prosecco, and I'm excited.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a friend that's retiring from Derby today. Going to have their last bout. So the fam's going to go see her play her last Derby match.
I did see something about that on social media and then was immediately sad I couldn't go.
Yeah. So we're going to do that today. So that'll be really fun to support her. And you know, she's been playing for many years, and you know, just feels like it's time to let it go. But I know that she's gonna have a lot of support and everything. So yeah, I wish you were here for it.
That'd be amazing. We'll give them lots of love from me.
Okay.
But I guess anyway, do we want to get into our topic?
Sure. So we decided to cover a really well-known back in the day, a hospital, mental hospital. And it had some ghosty elements, which, you know, we'll talk more about that at the end. But it is Byberry Mental Hospital, and it was a state hospital in Philadelphia. And It was originally designed, it was like city funded because the main hospital that was like they housed like a lot of people that were some people that were just homeless and had nowhere to go. And then they had the other side that was called the insane department.
Okay.
And this was an institution called Blockley in West Philadelphia.
Okay.
But because there was so much overcrowding, the city decided they needed to do like a city funded inmate run farm just to have somewhere for people to go that needed to get off the streets and everything.
What does inmate run mean?
It means they took people that were staying at Blockley and they put them on this farm and had them run the farm.
That sounds like not a good idea.
Well, so originally it was run by six inmates that were suffering from consumption. So they were not on the insane part of the hospital.
Gotcha.
But within 3 years it grew to be over 800 acres. And there were 15 colony houses, they called them, that were like pretty much like dorms. And so, the first patient that was admitted was a man named William McClain, and he was admitted for alcoholism.
Okay.
But so, so it was not just for people that were insane, it was people that just, dealing with consumption, people that were dealing with alcoholism, people that just didn't have a place to go. So it was originally started in 1911, but by 1914, it held 2,267 residents. And so at that time, it was already had become Pennsylvania's largest of all of their 21 county mental institutions. And it was also larger than seven out of its eight state hospitals.
Wow. Okay. That's a
So,
big one.
and then by 1934, there was a national survey of institutional care of mentally ill, and they reported that Byberry had over 20, or I'm sorry, 4,500 inmates, but its rated capacity was only 2,500.
Oof.
So
Okay.
it was over capacity by 2,000.
That's too many people.
Yeah. So obviously by mid-30s, it was like massively overcrowded and was in disrepair, and they had budget issues. So many of the patients were unclothed.
Oh, wow.
So
Okay.
you just had all of these patients wandering around pretty much naked or like in underwear, things like that, because they didn't have enough clothing for all of them. And then they were so underfunded and overcrowded that they couldn't find staff to work there. So, what do you think they did since they couldn't find staff that would work there?
I'm gonna say that they took people out of the other side of the asylum and kept it super, super inmate run.
Yeah. So it ended up being basically staffed by convicted criminals
Oh, wow. Okay.
and alcoholics who were former Byberry patients.
Okay. I mean, I would hope that the alcoholics are in recovery and doing great, but the former like criminal thing seems a little concerning to me.
Yeah. So, I mean, they just couldn't afford reasonable wages and that would like attract someone who maybe could find better options. They just couldn't, nobody would take the job. So they couldn't hire anybody. And because they were so understaffed, the petty criminals were offered to assign, they were assigned to work there in lieu of serving jail time.
Okay.
So, I mean, very vulnerable patients, because again, there were some people that were, like insane and needed a lot of care, but they
Right.
were in the hands of these convicted criminals that were just trying to get out of their jail sentence.
Right. That seems really unethical.
Yeah, for sure. And then in the 1940s, a reporter snuck in posing as an attendant, and I want to stress, like, people were able to come in and do things like that because they were so understaffed that it was easy to sneak in. You could just, nobody really knew who anybody was. They, it was kind of like, because they were so spread so thin, it was like you wouldn't notice somebody coming in because you're busy dealing with whatever you're dealing with. But this reporter snuck in and he was able to get some photos. And of course, he published them. So that started some public outrage. And then this happened again with a different reporter in 1945. And that really sparked a national uproar because the conditions were so barbaric. Now, in 1942, there were plans made to build a new like rec center kind of vibe, and it would have a gym, a bowling alley, basketball courts, a library, and a pool and spa. But it doesn't sound like that ever happened, but that's what they said they were going to do to help make it nicer. And then during World War II, there was a sh another shortage of staff because so many men were off at war that they developed a civilian public service unit. And these were people who were conscientious objectors who did not support the war effort. So they were brought here instead of going to war.
Interesting.
Yeah. And 3,000 of these objectors were spread to work in many of the different mental institutions throughout Pennsylvania. And, because this was just, they were, performing this as alternative work instead of going to war. I mean, they were against the war effort, for all kinds of, reasons. And then they come into this place where it's just neglectful and, not great. So a lot of them also started photographing what they were seeing, and it was neglect and brutality, and they were just shocked by it. And so, they started like reaching out to city and state officials. And then there were novels and films that came out. One of them was The Snake Pit. And then photos came out in national magazines like Life and PM, and that reached broader public, which really, I mean, people were just shocked by the basic living conditions in the state hospital and that it was so poor. And it was rated as one of the worst in Pennsylvania.
So they're not even, it's just, it's really bad, and people knew it was really bad and are still
Yeah.
letting it operate.
Yeah. So we're gonna get more into that. And then there was one of the photos, the person who took it described that the conditions were very much like a concentration camp. People didn't have enough food, people didn't have clothing, people were being abused. And the photos that went into Life magazine, I mean, really, these people look like they were starving. And so that was in 1945. And Eleanor Roosevelt saw the pictures before they were published, and she couldn't believe that the pictures were taken in such a progressive city like Philadelphia. So she wanted to be a part of the reform efforts. But by 1947, the institution held 6,100 patients with an average yearly cost of $346 per patient. And again, they're only supposed to have 2,500.
So, and you said only 300 whatever per patient per year. Like they could
Yes.
only, yikes.
So again, not a lot of food, not a lot of clothing, definitely not a lot of medical care, anything like that. And then there was a journalist and reformer named Albert Q. Deutsch, and he wrote a book in 1948, The Shame of the States, and he described Byberry as Philadelphia's Bedlam, which is, a notorious London home for the mad, they call it. And he also said that the conditions were like Nazi concentration camps. So, another person that made that comparison.
So this is, yeah. Like I said, it's all bad news.
Yeah, so now we're going to get into what exactly people were seeing. So again, the facility was meant for, I had different accounts, 2,100 or 2,500, depending on which article I read. But at its worst, it had 6,500. So over capacity by 4,000 people, which is just insane.
Yeah, that's a lot.
The staff ratio was one staff to every 144 patients.
That's too many.
So they had like a violent building, and that building had one to four attendants for 350 patients.
Okay. That's not good either.
Yeah, well, and I would not want to work in there if you have violent people in there and there's only four of you.
No.
Yeah, and then they had a building known as the incontinence ward,
Oh, wow.
and
Okay.
that had three staff for 350 patients. The woman's ward had one attendant for 250 patients. And then the attendants, they got room and board, laundry, and $2.50 per month as their wages. Now,
Wow.
by 1970, there were at least 57 deaths that were solely due to neglect.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's not good.
And then they did have a children's ward, but because they didn't have enough staff, they had adult patients supervise the children's ward.
No.
So, as you can
No.
imagine, that means that many of these children were physically and sexually assaulted.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Well, I don't, it didn't really say, what the children's ward was like. Were they kids that were ill? Or were they kids that were dealing with like behavioral issues? Or, it didn't really say what the kids were in there for.
Right.
I mean, they could have just been sick kids, I don't know. And then the conditions were just like really unsanitary. So there was human waste in the corridors. Patients would lie 4 days in soiled beds. And then beatings and rapes were common.
Okay.
The incontinence ward had no chairs, no activities, no entertainment or therapy, just concrete floors.
Okay. Well, that's not good.
Yeah, maybe they didn't, well, obviously they didn't have enough staff for activities and entertainment, but maybe they didn't want them to have furniture because they were like, oh, you're gonna soil it, but that's not okay.
Yeah, and also like, I don't know. Lots of people are incontinent. Like, I don't understand why. Anyway, that's not great.
And then patients were beaten with sawed-off wooden brooms or rubber hoses filled with buckshot.
Wow.
Some reports say that patients' jaws were broken. Doctors would pull teeth without Novocaine and would perform stitches or other medical procedures with no medication for pain.
Okay.
And then apparently back then it was believed, like doctors believed that if you were schizophrenic, that you couldn't feel pain.
I
And
mean,
so,
yeah, doesn't shock me.
yeah, but you would think, like, even if they believed that, if they were treating these patients and noticing that the patients were clearly reacting to pain, you would think they would rethink that theory, but they just went along with that as if it was true and just would not give these people medication.
Wow. I mean, I do know that like babies, like they didn't believe that babies could feel pain until the 80s. So babies were receiving surgery until they were like until the 80s, like babies were getting surgery without anesthetic. So that doesn't really shock me that there was something like that, but that's still so horrific and terrible. Yeah.
Then some meds were overused to sedate people. And there was actually a pharmaceutical company that had a shop inside the facility
Oh,
because
wow.
they had a deal with the hospital to experiment on the patients with different medications. And the patients obviously could not consent. They were just, had to go along with it. And a lot of them didn't have family to check on them. And so they would just be coerced into participating in drug trials, or sometimes not even coerced, they were just forced to.
Right, yeah. That's so terrible as a person who does research, like, no, thank you.
Yeah. And then there was a story of a staff that strangled a patient until one of his eyes popped out.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes the heavy-handed staff would not only I mean, they weren't fired or reprimanded for the violence, but they were often given raises. If they were able to like be violent enough to keep people under control.
That's terrible. Wow.
And
Okay.
then, you know, this is another really disturbing thing. There was one patient that was raped and murdered and dismembered by a fellow patient. And because of the overcrowding, they didn't even notice that she had gone missing until they started finding her like body parts spread all over the property.
Oh my gosh.
And it would be like they would see a patient like playing with a hand or, you know, carrying around a foot or something like that. And they'd be like, what is that? You know, where did you get this? And then they realized that this person had been killed.
I
But, you know,
mean,
yeah, it was like weeks later that, you know, they just didn't notice she was gone because they were so understaffed and, you know, the staff they had really didn't care.
wow, okay. That's terrible. Like, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and then some of the treatments that they would use, electroshock therapy, they had padded cells, and they performed lobotomies.
Of course they did.
Which we all have feelings about that. And then they had something called water cure. And it was when they put a wet towel and they wrapped it around the patient's neck and they would twist and twist and twist. So it was like being strangled. And they would do that until the patient was subdued. And apparently, like using a wet towel doesn't leave any marks on the neck. So there was like no bruising. So they could do that to patients and not have evidence that they had like strangled them.
So they're like legit torturing these
Yeah.
people.
Yeah.
Like not just like, and I mean obviously like physical and sexual assault is like a form of torture, but like legit doing things like that, that's
Yeah.
like so clearly not okay.
Well,
Wow.
and now we're going to get into some more of the neglect things. So the violent ward was referred to as the death house.
Okay.
And they had this large room that just had rows and rows of beds where men were shackled to the bed frames.
Okay.
And they had like thick leather handcuffs, mitts, wristlets, straps, and restraining sheets that hold them down. And, you know, some people were confined to lodges that were empty bedless rooms, and they just reeked of feces because there was nowhere for these people to go to the bathroom. And they
So
had, in these lodges, they had only a half inch holes in steel-plated windows, so that room was only lit during the day and only through these half-inch holes. So as soon as the sun would go down, it would just be completely dark in these rooms.
that's terrible.
And
Okay.
again, these rooms are like completely overcrowded, but you know, barely any light during the day with these just half-inch holes letting a little bit of sunlight in.
Right.
And then, you know, again, the staff, you know, they were kind of lower level convicts that were trying to avoid jail time, so they didn't know how to manage the violent offenders. So it is said that sometimes they would leave them in 4-point restraints for months at a time.
Oh my gosh, months.
Yeah, so these people would just be like chained on their bed and, you know, so going to the bathroom on themselves, all that, you know, being barely fed. There was one patient that in the 80s, and he was known as William. And he was reportedly in restraints for somewhere between 14 months and 3 years.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So, like, naked in a bed, go in the bathroom on yourself. They feed you a little bit here and there, but you're shackled to a bed for, you know, at least a year, maybe 3 years.
Wow. Okay.
Now, in the 60s, reports showed that there had been little change in the past 20 years since the initial photos went public. And some people started reporting or writing like tell-all reports. And so, you know, it kind of re-sparked some outrage and people were wanting to see change.
Right.
So by 1962, Byberry began downsizing, but not in a responsible way. What do you think they did to downsize?
They fired the staff, probably, right? Or they, what did, or no,
They
let
just
me.
released 2,000 people. Some
They
of them were transferred to other facilities, but most of them were just turned out on the street with no resources or support.
okay.
So 2,000 people just on the street, you know, and again, some of them were, you know, deemed to be insane, and some of them, you know, after being tortured and neglected, probably had, you know, all kinds of trauma and no idea how to take care of themselves.
Right. I mean, because again, like you would think, like even for like the lower level or the people who aren't like severely like dealing with like melancholy, which is very old timey, but like you would think that they, like in a perfect world, would be given tools to be able to readapt into society. But like this obviously is not the case with these patients.
No, and I mean, just so irresponsible, like, oh, okay, we're gonna solve overcrowding. So they do that by just turning these people out on the street with no support. I mean, and again, not that you would expect much from them because it's not like they had support while they were there. They weren't being taken care of, but to just put them out on the streets and like, oh, just go fend for yourself now. And all of these people have trauma by this point, it's
Yeah.
just sad. And then obviously the patients that remained continued to be abused. So even though they were being looked at again, they were still doing the same thing. Some of these patients were able to escape because there really wasn't adequate supervision and, because they were so understaffed. So sometimes people could slip out. There was one story where a patient escaped, but it was like winter time and like freezing cold outside. So he tried to come back in. He couldn't get the attention of the staff to let him back in. And so he ended up freezing on the street.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Sad.
But can you imagine that? You're in a place that's so horrific. And so you escape, but then you're end up freezing, and your only option is to go back to this place that, was horribly abusing you. I mean, that's a really hard choice, but that would have been his only chance of survival.
Yeah.
But he wasn't able to get back in.
And I'm assuming with how they didn't notice someone had been like murdered for weeks, they probably didn't even notice he was gone until they found his body or something, right? Like, that's terrible.
And obviously, there were many incidents of rape, murder, and suicide among the patients, and deaths were sometimes unnoticed for days. And
Wow.
then in 1987, the governor of Pennsylvania, Robert Casey, ordered that the hospital be closed immediately.
Wow, okay.
But again, like, so all of this, the hospital opened, what did I say, 1911? It was being investigated in the 30s, the 40s, and then again in the 60s, and it doesn't end up getting shut down until 1987.
Yeah, wow.
But so he ordered it to be closed immediately, but the population was so large that it took 3 years until the hospital was officially closed down.
Okay.
And most of the patients had to get out, or try to get support from like community programs. And most of them were like nonprofit agencies that were helping. But there were a lot of people that, went out, and there just wasn't much support for them. And I just am going to say it again. I don't know how you come back from that. Like, if you've been in this horrible treatment for years and years and years, and then you get out, like, I don't even know how you readjust or, readapt to normal society or know how to take care of yourself or anything. So, yeah, it really is hard to imagine how these people could find ways to survive or, hopefully thrive outside of the walls. But the damage done, it just would make it so hard to come back into the world in a healthy way and be productive. And I just, I can't even fathom the support that they would need to be able to try to do that. It's just so sad.
Yeah. Really, really sad. It's, yeah, hard to hear for sure.
Now, I know you're going to get into some of the ghost that stories that we have, but in 2006, the building was bulldozed, and it had already been empty for a long, long time because it closed in 87, or I guess really 90, 1990, because it took 3 years to get everybody out. But it wasn't bulldozed until 2006, and it stayed an empty field for a long time, but now it's a residential community for seniors. So I guess you can talk about some of the ghosts that you've heard about. But now that it's a residential community, I know it's not something that can be investigated.
Yeah. So that's kind of what's tough because I feel like with this one, there are, sightings of things or there are things that people have experienced, but it's not as specific as, say, like Waverly, right? Where it's been investigated a million times. But so, as you said, it was empty starting in the 90s. And what is like the classic thing that happens in abandoned buildings? Like, what is the classic thing that always happens and ghosts come from it?
I mean, I feel like you just hear weird screams, growls, grunts, groans, like that kind of stuff.
No. I mean, like things human beings do in abandoned buildings. What is something a human being does?
Oh, well, like, well, our people would investigate, but what
Oh
do
yeah.
you mean?
I mean more like satanic cults.
Oh, okay. Well, some people do that. I choose not to participate, but yes, that's for some people.
Is true. This is true. So, reportedly, the building before it was torn down in 2006 was used for things like gang initiations or things like that. They were also used apparently for satanic cults. It is believed that a portal has been opened in that area, a portal to hell. And some of this also has to do with the fact that the building has tunnel systems underneath it, which people call the catacombs.
Oh, really? I didn't realize they called it that.
Yeah, so a lot of the, you know, like within the catacombs, like a lot of the like when it was a hospital, it sounds like it was used to transport patients or medication and things like that. It was also a place where patients were mistreated in many different ways. And so kind of what people are seeing in the catacombs now are things like shadow figures.
Oh.
Sometimes people
Did
hear
they
from
just normally? I mean, I've been to the catacombs in France, but normally, catacombs are like where, remains are put, I mean, in France, they're like stacked floor to ceiling. But is that something they would do with, like, when people died, would they keep them down there?
yeah, I think like if they like if someone died, they would like keep them down there until they were able to get them like buried. So if there was like some sort of delay or something like that, but there have been remains found down there. And as I said, like inmates were treated badly down there. So some people believe like some of like the violent deaths also could have occurred in the catacombs.
Well, I didn't even read anything about like what did they do with the dead? Like, did they try to give them a proper burial, or did they just, they probably didn't. I mean, if they weren't taking care of life, I can't imagine them taking care of them in death. So, and well,
Yeah.
a lot of these people didn't have family to speak for them, so it would make sense that they would probably just throw their remains anywhere.
Yeah, so I don't really know what happened in the catacombs. There wasn't a lot of research I found specifically like they burned the bodies or they did this or that, but I know that bodies were stored there. But so some people are unsure of, you know, whether there were people squatting in the catacombs after the building was emptied, or what was going on. There is actually a there's a kind of urban legend of a former patient who lives in the tunnels with a knife that's ready to stab anyone who comes near in the catacombs. However, there's really no evidence of this human being existing. People do hear footsteps. They will hear footsteps either following them behind them or they hear them in the distance, like someone's running at the other end of the hallway.
Oh, wow.
They also have several times people have gotten three welts, which, like I said, is like a demonic thing mocking the Holy Trinity. So they'll get
So
three.
that would probably just start if the satanic cult thing was true, right? Because before that, if it was just a hospital with a lot of negative energy, that wouldn't necessarily show up. But if somebody opened a door.
Yeah, that's what they were saying is like it's most likely a due to the satanic cult, the satanic
Okay.
cult. There we go, words. But yeah,
Okay.
something interesting people have experienced too is that like equipment, like if they were filming or recording, has gone missing. Like they'll put it down and then they'll like turn around and it'll be gone.
Yeah.
They also have had items taken out of their pockets. And One source I read was discussing the things taking out of pockets because, if there was like an inmate living in the tunnels or something, maybe, just maybe they wouldn't notice. But to me, when I think about pickpocketing, like I think about being pickpocketed on like a really crowded subway car where like I'm bumping and touching people. Like I would notice someone who wasn't supposed to be there touching me. I feel like in like an empty hallway, So I thought that was kind of an interesting one.
Well, and that one sort of makes sense too, right? Like, not only because some of these people were criminals and some of them petty criminals, like pickpockets or thieves or things like that, but also if these people had nothing, they weren't given much, the idea of trying to take anything they could kind of makes sense too.
Yeah, exactly. There have been EVPs of a couple different things. So there's been EVPs of children like laughing or playing. They've also heard children, or not children, but just like in general, like really like loud growling. And they said it was more human growling than inhuman growling. And then the obvious screaming.
I was gonna say with the treatment, there probably would be a lot of groans and growls and screaming because they were being so mistreated.
Another one that I think sounds really creepy and would not enjoy is that people have experienced a man that is laughing, but you don't know where he's coming from. Like it's almost like you're in surround sound and you just hear him laughing
Gosh.
all around you, which is really scary to me.
Well, and you have to wonder, like, what is that? Is that like some kind of demon thing? Or is it like maybe that was one of the staff who was like enjoyed hurting people or enjoyed seeing the suffering of people? I mean, or it could just be somebody who was insane and laughing at hallucinations. Who knows? But like, yeah, that could be different things, I think.
I mean, either way, it's really unsettling, I
Yeah,
think.
that would. When to hear it in surround sound, that would freak you out too, because you wouldn't know which way to go.
Oh, I would hate that. And then there are some other sort of hauntings, like the sound of shackles moving. There's also the very overwhelming smell of urine and fecal matter, specifically they mentioned on the incontinence floor, which again, is that just residual because they didn't clean the building, or is that, like an actual haunting? We're not sure. Other things people have felt or heard is heavy breathing, like right behind you. People have experienced like damp hands going to grab you, which is also very unsettling and I don't like.
I would not like that at all. Keep your damn hands to yourself.
I was gonna say a hand touching me unprovoked in general is not great, but a damp hand makes it worse for some reason.
That just feels dirty.
People have also experienced the feeling of being strangled, which we do think goes back to that torture we mentioned. People have blacked out while walking through, just like flat out passed out. People have experienced being groped on different parts of the body. People have been slapped on the back. People feel stinging on their wrists and ankles, almost in places where people would have been shackled. And people have also experienced, which is another one I hate, is the shirts being tugged. And people will experience their feet being held down. So people will be trying to walk and they can't, like something is holding them in place.
I would not like that. That would freak me out.
Nightmare fuel.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're trying to like you're feeling unsafe or something and you want to get away and then suddenly your feet are held to the floor. Oh my gosh, that would freak me out so much. But like the groping and all that, yeah, I mean, because it does seem like there were a lot of sexual assaults that were happening. So all of that energy makes sense that it would still be there.
Yeah, absolutely. And then so some other common experiences, like I said, there was like the human-like growling and scratches appearing on bodies. The blood. So there are different screams. There are like screams that are more like someone is in pain, and then there are some screams that are just like really terrifying and scary that people also experience. Like, I mean, I guess the scream in general is scary, but they're like there's a distinction between one where someone's like clearly screaming in pain and one where someone is just screaming to scream, kind of, if that makes sense. And then the last thing people really do see a lot of are human figures walking into the woods. And people don't know if that is like patients who had escaped and went into the woods. We don't really know. But I do think that is an interesting thing people see as well. So yeah, that's like kind of the gist of the ghosts. But yeah, that one where they're holding your feet down freaks me out. Like that and the surround sound laughter. Can you imagine that at the same time where you're just stuck? Like.
Oh my gosh. And then said laughter all around you. That would freak me out. Well, and the choking thing, that resembles the water cure. You know, I can't even say this part, but like the fact that they called it the water cure. Like, by subduing you, by strangling you until you were completely like docile, to call that a cure is like very upsetting.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and you know, it's hard because we obviously know a lot more about medicine and things now, but I also feel like even at that time, that would not have flown. That would have not have been okay.
But
Because
that makes sense that, people might experience that feeling while they're in that area.
yeah, absolutely. A lot of people have experienced being strangled. And it's interesting, like someone being slapped on the back. Like I couldn't imagine, like if that was like, because I see it in two ways. Are you like running and like someone's like, ha ha, nice to see you, bud? Or is it like someone's like shove, like trying to hurt you, slap you on the back?
Yeah, either way, I don't want anything that I can't see to slap me on the back. We
That's true.
are not that friendly. Please don't touch me. I do not give consent. My gosh. But then you have to wonder, right? Because like once it's torn down, it was empty for a while, and now it's like a residential community for the elderly. Like you have to wonder, like, do they experience anything? And I know it can't really be investigated now because it's, people live there. But yeah, it's like I wonder if they experience anything. But you would think like whoever runs that property, they probably wouldn't want people to know if there was anything spooky there, because then people wouldn't want to move in. They wouldn't want to send their elderly relatives to live there.
Yeah, like I wonder, because isn't there like this is maybe getting really into the nitty-gritty, but with like real estate law, isn't it like a death within the last 3 years? But if a death didn't happen, they don't have to disclose in the last 3 years or something. So then you think if it
I
was.
think the rules are different state to state, but some people might know the history there. I don't know if everybody would if you weren't from there. But yeah, but even if they did disclose, I just wonder if those people do experience anything. But yeah, I don't know what the laws are about if people are experiencing ghosty things. Do they have to report it to incoming residents?
I think there are rules about that, right? Like, I feel like there are, but
I think
I don't
it's
know.
state to state though, so I don't know what the rules are there, but yeah, but I, if I was running that property, I would probably want to keep that hush hush, given that it's for elderly people to have a safe space to come. And you probably also would want to keep ghost hunters away because people are trying to retire there and be okay, so.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and something I do wonder is like, you know, because the building has been torn down, do the ghosts just go away? Like in my brain, I don't think they would, but there really hasn't been anything reported since the building's been torn down and it became the residential place. So,
Well,
like,
maybe the people that were walking into the forest, maybe that was them leaving.
maybe could have been. Let's hope they're having a better afterlife.
Yeah, but I can't imagine what those people went through. I mean, yeah, I know that sometimes there's not enough staff and it's hard, but we still have to treat people humanely and kindly. And yeah, even people on the violent ward, you can't keep them shackled to beds for months at a time. Like, that's just crazy. I mean,
I
if
mean,
there was anybody there that was there for, just like wanting to recover from alcohol, or, wanting to, somebody who is actually sick or something like that, to go there, you would definitely come out of it insane by that treatment,
Yeah, like you said, someone trying to recover from alcohol, which typically it's like nowadays a lot of therapy and a lot of community building and a lot of just like you're not drinking and you're talking and like or you're processing, you're journaling, you're doing your things, you're making your peace. And it's like, you can't do that in that type of space.
Oh,
And
yeah, not.
even with, people who do deal with like, suicidal ideation or like bipolar or schizophrenia, any of that, like nowadays, like a lot of it like is more so controlled with medication. And like there are ways for these people to succeed and thrive if they are given the proper treatment. So even just knowing that these people are probably worse off based on, the treatment of this facility when they could have been like helped, is just so tragic.
Well, and it's sad too, because at least in California, I'm not sure how bad it is where you are, but I mean, you've seen it here when you live here, that even now, we have so many people dealing with severe mental illness. Schizophrenia is probably the biggest part. And you just see them on the street. And even now we don't have a system, at least in California, where we take care of these people. These people need care, but instead they're living on the street, and we don't offer them very much in terms of services or support. So I want to stress, we're not a hospital. We don't have state hospitals anymore here in California, so we're not hospitalizing and neglecting and torturing people, but we're also not caring for them. And so yeah, it's still, I mean, obviously we're doing better than this place was doing, but we're still not doing great for these people.
Yeah, and I mean, it gets to like for me, like I think it's a really hard debate anyway about like what to do, treating people humanely and doing the right thing, but also like you said with what's going on in California, and I mean, we're seeing it in Boston, we're seeing it in New York, we're seeing it like in most big cities really. And other places, like it's not just, mental health in terms of like schizophrenia and stuff anymore right now. It's like the opioid crisis and all of that. And so you have people who are just severely, severely addicted and have no resources, and we have no infrastructure to support these people. It's just all really sad.
It is really bad. And I don't know what the solution is, but we all should be trying to do better.
Yeah, I think we just need to bite the bullet and do what Europe did. Just like give people housing and therapy. And I know that is something that people will not agree to because it's really expensive at the beginning, but it saves us money in the long run. But I don't know. That's just me.
Anyways, but we should all be treating each other more kindly.
I agree. I agree. Absolutely. Well, friends, no, that was a heavy one, but thank you for sticking with us. If you want to follow us on Instagram, you could do that at What the L Pod. You can also follow our Patreon page. We have some lovely, lovely bonus episodes on there. Our May one is going to be posted, or it might already be posted when this comes out. So go check it out. It's a really sad and tragic one, but a good one. We also have Gmail, where you can send us story ideas or anything you really want to talk to us about. We really love interacting with you all. So feel free to reach out at whattheelpod@gmail.com. And outside of that, I just want to say I appreciate you, Mama.
Appreciate you too, baby.
And we appreciate you, friends. Bye.
Bye.